Chattering. This is Magic the Chattering, a Night of the Living Geeks production. I am one of your hosts, Mitch, and joining me again, as always, is Mr. Brandon on the line.
Hey, what's up?
And our super special guest, regular guest of the friend of the show, Mr. Eric Torres.
Hey there.
Hey, how's it going,
Reporter in the field.
Not bad, how are you?
Good.
Oh, so much Amon Kett. I love this set.
Yeah, so we've got new set excitement. You guys had an opportunity to play in the pre-releases.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my brother and I opened pre-release packs. We didn't actually get a chance to play, but
I feel like that counts. We did. That counts close enough.
I like to think so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man, it's interesting. Like, I feel like the mechanics that people thought weren't going to be great are amazing, mm-hmm. and like, I mean, cycling's already, you know, cycling's good. It's cycling.
Yeah,
but they found a way to abuse cycling even more than just, sweet, I get a new card. It's ridiculous.
Well, because if they've done cycling where you can do abilities on the cycle as well before.
Yeah, I mean, there was like Astro Slide, Lightning Rift, like that era.
Yeah.
You know, that was the day of like Eternal Dragon and like, you know.
Yeah, but I don't Astral think they've done as thing. Many like get cards back from the graveyard with cycling cards before.
Oh no, not even close.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Embalm is a crazy, crazy ability.
Yeah, I like that, like flashback for creatures, which is I feel like that's a thing we tried before. They tried before with like Unearth.
Unearth was more of like an aggressive strategy. You really went in all at once with Unearth.
Yeah, but it was like their way of trying to make flashback work on a dude.
Yeah,
I think they did it a lot better this time around, though.
Yeah, no. Like there are just certain creatures that are just straight value. Like it's disgusting how much value you get out of them. You know. Oketra's Attendant. It's a 3/3 flying for 3 and 2 white. You cycle for 2, and it embalms for the same cost that it casts.
Right.
Like, it's... Like, you get to potentially pitch a card that's too expensive early, and then bring it back late game. Like, where's that fairy for your opponent, right?
Right.
Like, where's the draw back? There's creatures like... where's this guy? Unwavering Initiate. He's a 3/2 vigilance for 3, and he bombs for 5. Like, I'm pretty okay with that. But like, that guy's a pretty solid creature.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then the weird support that zombies get from white. It's, man, it's nuts.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting flavor choice of throwing the zombies out into the white side of the color pie.
Well, I mean, zombies were considered, you know, like, being mummified was considered holy.
Right.
You know, it was a thing for them. And so it kind of makes sense, like, when you think of it from the Egypt lore side.
No, definitely, yeah. And I think that's a really cool way to make, to bring that flavor into actual gameplay and how they represent that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely.
And it'd be kind of weird to put in a different color that way. It's your holy ritual in red.
Yeah, like another thing that was really, really weird was like they put a really big emphasis on giving your own creatures -1/-1 counters, and unless you have a deck that's built around that, like those cards just have no value. But if the moment you start like really taking off with like, sweet, I'm going to start attacking and removing counters from my guys and gaining life and doing bad stuff to you.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
well, it seems it's linear in the way, the same like Modern Masters 1 was. Like, there's all very... Cards are for one particular archetype, so the -1/-1 counter deck wants those voraciously, whereas everyone else is not going to need them as badly.
Yeah, and there's a lot of things that abuse removing counters from your own creatures. Like one of the coolest green creatures out there is Channeler Initiate. It's a 3/4 for 2, and it enters the battlefield. You put 3 -1/-1 creatures on counters on target creature you control. But if you choose itself, you get three points of mana out of it every time you remove a counter. You get to produce one of any mana. Hmm. So later on, when you don't need to ramp, it's a 3/4.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Like, it's got such good value. Like, it's really, really crazy how...
And...
Like, you don't think about it until you're, like, really playing with it.
Also, like, if you have a creature that's pacified, I'm like, well, I can put my -1/-1 counters on this thing, so I'm not going to be attacking with it anymore.
Yeah,
yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of recursion in this set. Like, not even... even outside of the embalm stuff, there's a lot of stuff that brings back small creatures. I think white has like 6 different cards that do it to anything with power 2 or less. It's like power or mana cost 2 or less.
I mean, I've never played in a set that had cycling like this before, so most of this is brand new to me, the cycling part. Because I actually started the set after. I started with Zendikar when I first started playing. So I just barely missed Cycling the last time it was here.
Yeah, because Cycling was less than Alara. And before that, it was like...
Well, Alara didn't have like... Alara didn't have like true Cycling. Alara had like land Cycling.
But definitely. It was the third one. The Alara Reborn had a lot of...
Oh yeah, that one did.
Yeah.
Cycling. Yes. Eric, to give you an idea, like, you know, like, are you familiar with the card Astral Slide?
Oh yeah, I mean, like, I played it in Vintage Masters, so I've like had some with that, but like their cycling was closer to the get extra effect when you cycle type of thing.
Yeah. So that era of like Onslaught block. Like, everybody played Astral Slide. It was Astral Slide Lightning Rift, and you were just cycling Eternal Dragon and Slice and Dice, and just... everybody played the deck. That was, like, one of the first times that the meta was decided by, like, a single interaction.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dude, what do you guys think about these Aftermath cards? Did you get to play with any, Eric?
I didn't. They were off-color, the ones that I did open, so I didn't actually get to play with any... Actually, no. I did play with one. I can't remember which one. Give me a quick second while I look, but go ahead. Say what you're going to say.
I did get Dusk to Dawn. That one's awesome.
The one I saw was Commit to Memory, which looks amazing because it's great on the...
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of these are going to be really good first sides and then all... Mm-hmm. The other side is just might be a bonus.
One of the coolest ones apparently is Mouth to Feed.
Which,
so for does that one do? For 2 and a green sorcery, you get a 3/3 green hippo, and then Feed is a sorcery and 3 and a green, and it's the Aftermath part. So you get to draw a card for each creature you control with power 3 or greater.
Wow! So
yeah,
minimum draw one.
Pretty sweet. Yeah. Dusk to Dawn is pretty awesome because it destroys power all creatures with power 3 or greater for 4. And then the Aftermath is 5, and it returns all creatures with power 2 or less from your graveyard to your hand.
Yeah.
So it really does reward a certain type of deck. But yeah, the ones people are excited about is like... Dusk to Dawn, Commit to Memory, and Never to Return. Mouth to Feed has like a weird niche following, but
I don't know, people
who like good cards,
ribbons. But that's more limited card, Cut to Ribbons.
Oh yeah, Cut to Ribbons. I've seen a couple of people just die on the spot to that.
Well, it's so disgusting.
Yeah.
But I think Rags to Riches is another one that got a lot of hype. Because it is a board wipe. And there's so much good stuff. And then there's this Teemer Bounty of the Luxa deck. So Bounty of the Lux says 2 green blue. At the beginning of your pre-combat main phase, remove all flood counters from it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have no counters on this way, put a flood counter. Draw a card. Otherwise, you put a colorless green blue onto your mana pool. Like, it's the ramp in that deck is just stupid.
And it like works with each other because like if you can't ramp that turn, you draw a card. If you can't draw a card. Yeah. You ramp.
Oh man.
Yeah.
It's super cool. But yeah, okay. So let me see. I'll talk about my pre-release really quick.
Yeah, let's go.
So I did my usual, just play the one game, and I unfortunately, for my opponent, steamrolled him very badly.
Oh.
Well, you gotta make sure that you drop in front of him.
I mean, he knew beforehand that I was gonna drop because, again, I have to be up early the next morning to actually run the next event, and I can't be like, you know, tired for all the judge calls that people are gonna be making.
Dude, that's
especially with a new set.
That's just
you're crazy.
Most brutal beats.
Yeah, so I mean, I would love to stick around for a midnight pre-release and actually stay till the end, but if I'm not working the next day,
someday
that's probably not going to happen. But I played a pretty sweet red blue deck.
Nice.
And all stars that like there was a lot of the big creatures are really good. And one thing I noticed a lot of people were doing was cycling way too often.
Oh, aggressively cycling.
Yes, and then they have, you know, they have nothing to win the game with.
Well, I mean, like, I feel like it's like it, depending on how your game's going. Like cycling a 7 mana card that you won't be able to cast for anything is probably the right call most of the time.
Yeah, but there were like people that were cycling like all their hand, and eventually they put all their threats in the bin because they cycled them away.
Yeah, I heard that happened a lot because people were like, sweet, I love drawing cards, and it's not like, okay, do I need to draw this card? Do I need to get rid of this to draw a card? You know, they were just cycling to cycle, and it was really bad choices.
Yeah, so maybe like, I'd agree with most. Or some, like, being slightly aggressive.
I mean, like, you don't want to cycle away your win conditions.
No, but if you can't cast your win conditions,
it's true.
It might as well be on the bottom of your deck or in your graveyard.
Okay, so one of my rares in my deck was a Curator of Mysteries.
Mm-hmm.
Nice,
which is
nice.
The 2 blue blue 4/4. It's a flying whenever you cycle or discard another card, scry one.
Mm-hmm.
So that helped out a lot, but it also has cycling for one in a blue. I mean, 1 blue. And it's like, that's a card I'm never going to cycle. Because it's just a 4/4 flyer for 4, especially in blue, which you normally don't get anything that cheap, that good.
Yeah, I mean, a 4 mana card, sure, but like...
No, his effects are too good.
Yeah. I mean, you never want to cycle him away. I mean, yes, he's a cycling enabler, but you never want to cycle him away. So, well, in limited, maybe in standard you would, but not in limited ever. Also, opened up a Drakehaven, which I was sad that I never got to pull and play.
Oh, Drakehaven's so cool! It's your type of cycling enabler, Mitch.
Yeah, because it makes
whenever you cycle tokens. Or discard a card, you make 2/2 blue Drake tokens for paying 1 mana.
I like.
You're all about the all about that.
All about that. I was really sad.
Yeah.
Oh. I'll get back to that
later. Go ahead.
No, I'm trying to start a future topic. Go on.
I understand. So one thing I did learn was Hieroglyphic Illumination. You never want to play that. You always want to cycle it.
I don't know, buddy. Come on now.
You never want to play Hieroglyphic Illumination?
I think you always want to cycle it. I mean, like, every time I cycled it, I felt like it was the right choice. Cycling is 1 blue, or you can pay 3 and a blue to draw 2 cards at instant speed.
But you could draw 2 cards instead of 1.
So you're also paid for.
I feel like every time you cycle that card, it's probably right. But also, every time you play that card, it's even more right.
So the abuse that people have been doing with it is in standard they cycle it away and then later on they torrential gear Hulk it back.
That's amazing.
That's amazing.
It's disgusting. It's so good. Yeah, I mean, it's a cycle now, recast later. Like, that's definitely what the card is.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Would you open for your pre-release foil stamp
My
rare?
foil is it was the land that lets you produce five of the same, so I got womp womp for that one.
Oh, that's, I
So
mean, that's better than a lot of things.
cascading cataracts, that's what I open. So yeah, it's an indestructible land. Yay. You can either tap it for one colorless or pay five and tap it to add five mana in any combination of colors to your mana pool.
I mean, it's a commander-worthy card.
I mean, yes, it's great for commander, but definitely was not going to make my deck that night.
No, probably not.
But
So there were some people who were, I wandered around when I was picking up my pre-release pack, and there are some people who are like, "Yeah, I don't even want to discuss what my stamp card was." It was just, it was horrible.
can it be
Some
worse than
people
the
ended up with.
land?
It can actually.
What was it? Go ahead.
So some of them I saw were pretty terrible, like in regards to like, okay, maybe you could have gotten a better one, but
I
like
mean,
somebody got what is that one?
what
Oracle's
color?
Vault. It's an artifact.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, you pay four. It's four cost. Pay two, tap it, exile the top card of your library. Until end of turn, you may play that card, put a brick counter on it. Exile the top card of your library when you just tap it for regular. Until end of turn, you may play that card without paying its mana cost. Activate if there are only three brick counters. And everybody's like, okay. So there's a lot of ways to kill this thing, and I'm exiling shit off the top of my deck. So I don't think I want this.
Well, Oracle's Vault was the promo for drafting that first week.
Yeah, there's also that. And then there
So
are people who got
everyone
like,
got it.
and then there are people who got like Glorybringer as their stamp, and I'm like, wow, you got one of the like most wonderfully generic dragons. Sorry.
Still a dragon, though.
Still a dragon. I mean, I ended up doing the first draft for the week. And my first pick was a foil Glorybringer. And it's still an amazing card, so it'll win you games.
Yeah, these people were like, they wanted a foil stamped god, or they wanted something cool. And they were like, "Womp, I got the dragon." So one of the most prized ones was Regal Caracal, the Cat Lord. People got foil stamped Cat Lords and were like coveting them like crazy.
Dude, that
And
sounds like
people love their
fun.
cats.
So you can finally get that Cat Commander deck.
Cat
Cat
Tribal.
Tribal.
But
People love their, I mean, their
actually,
cats.
Colin got Hazoret the Fervent as his stamp card,
Nice.
the red
Nice.
god.
So can I a quick aside complaint about this card?
What's up?
So why does this card have haste if, like, for the most part, whenever you play him, he's not gonna have haste, or you're not gonna be able to attack with him?
It's a situational card because this is not one of the same. So the problem that people are having is that they look at these gods and go, sweet, I remember these from Theros. They're not the same.
No, they're not.
Not even close.
I just think it's really weird that it has haste, a four drop with haste, and you're never gonna have one or less hand when if you play them on curve.
The thing is, you don't play Hazoret on curve. You play Hazoret as a finisher. So Colin and I played a bunch of games. Colin lost to me a lot, but his deck just couldn't keep up with mine. But the games he did win, he had enough green-red ramp that he got Hazoret in play, ditched three cards, and then would attack with a 5/4. Like, it did work. It's just you gotta play to it. Like, you cannot just be like, boom, God, what you gonna do about it? Sweet,
Or
I
is it
can't
just
attack.
mull mulligan to four mountains, Hazoret the Fervent? That seems pretty easy.
I mean, the only other reason why I'm complaining is because, like, if you look at Rhodas, if you don't activate him, the turning comes in, then you're playing green wrong.
No, people were pretty like, did not get attacked by Rhonas. Sweet won the game.
It's like two ends of the spectrum. One It's never gonna happen. Turn you play the other one. It's always gonna happen.
Yeah. I did get to, I get to, I did a bucket list Amonkhet though, because I cast Approach of the Second Sun and actually won with it.
You won by casting Approach of the Second Sun?
Well, for the second time.
You casted two times.
Yes, I did.
That's pretty goddamn impressive.
I have a story from the pre-release.
What up?
About that card.
I was also, me too. So I'm the host, I go first.
Okay, go ahead.
I was watching a draft video, and the guy first picks Approach of the Second Sun, and then drafts just this red-green stompy deck, and his deck was too good for that card. Or was that, it was green-blue. Like, his deck was too good, he won too quickly in order to first Approach the Second Sun to win him the game. It was very sad.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah.
Oh. So I was having my lunch during the pre-release, during the two-headed giant event.
Yeah.
And then one of the players, who's like super competitive, walks outside. He's like, "Oh, this is bullshit. We just lost. Bullshit." He was like complaining the entire time because their opponent cast Approach of the Second Sun while having another Approach of the Second Sun in their hand. Oh. And they're like, "This is bullshit. We were gonna win the match," and then they just cast this card, and we lost. Oh.
Well, you lost to a card that says you win the game.
So they countered the first one, not expecting the second one to be in their hand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That card. There's people who are like super dedicated to making this card work in standard. I'm very excited to watch these decks.
Ooh.
So another thing that I didn't realize at first is just how aggressive Amonkhet really is.
Oh yeah, it's crazy aggressive. You're pretty much Alpha Striking the entire time.
Perfect. It's the way it should be. A team of the dream.
Exert is nuts. Like, Exert decks are fucking tough to beat.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they're really, really tough to beat. Zombie decks are actually really tough to beat too. There's so many good zombie cards.
Mm-hmm.
Which there's MTG Goldfish actually has two really good zombie decks up right now. There's Black White Zombies, which is like Zombie Aristocrats, and it uses like Plague Belchers, Lord of the Accursed, Diagraph Colossus, Wayward Servant, which is like one of the main cards.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever another zombie enters the battlefield under your control, each opponent loses one life and you gain one. There's Relentless Dead. Dread Wanderer, which is like disgusting on its own, and Crypt Breaker, and like all these like garbage zombie cards that people were like, "Boom, I'm just gonna toss it in my like junk throw into a trade, you know, box."
Yeah,
these cards immediately like tripled in value, and now they're sold out everywhere. It's pretty crazy. I mean, like, Plague Belcher is whenever another zombie you control dies, each opponent loses one life, and it's a 3-cost 5/4 menace.
That's pretty good.
It's a pretty big creature for 3. It's got menace.
And you can use it to kill
and
one of your other creatures to trigger it.
Yeah, when you play it. Yes.
Yeah, and Diagraph Colossus, like, casting zombie spells constantly to make 2/2 zombies, and they're losing life, and then they kill zombies and they're losing life. And then they also have a mono black version that's a little more aggressive, and that deck is just as disgusting. Yeah, zombies are a thing again. They're like really a thing again.
That's amazing.
I mean, it has a lot of sets to draw from at this point, so not surprising.
Yeah. Yeah, realistically, Innistrad's still in.
Oh yeah, it'll be in for a little while, but it's got a lot of stuff going for it, and it might be the new thing. Like watching zombie decks like attack each other might be the next big thing.
Jeez, Relentless Dead is $80 on mm-hmm. Oh wait, online. Oh, that's much nicer, $55.
Oh yeah.
All right, you're allergic to paper.
Yeah, I stand it.
Yeah, the nice part is I've got 2 playsets of Relentless Dead, so yeah, I'm gonna be cashing in soon. Though there was, there were a few pretty good, interesting decks coming out, but like, they don't seem as good as zombies. I know that blue-black mill is becoming a thing, because they use a lot of weird stuff. But one of the main cards is commit to memory, and then they just kind of flood your, like, they reset their opponent's hands constantly, and then like they'll constantly keep like returning crap to their hands, and then forcing them to discard, and then they just like they just lose all control of whatever they get to do.
Yay.
I know that there's a red-black Minotaur deck coming up. There's one that's Samut, Voice of Dissent. There's a Naya Humans list with four copies of that card. One card that's actually surprisingly, quote-unquote, surprisingly not making a big splash is the new Nissa.
Really?
Doesn't really do anything, yeah. Like, it's not a bad card, it's just not a great card.
Almost every Nissa deck, Nissa card has been kind of underwhelming.
I mean, pretty much since the original Nissa.
Yeah.
I mean, that one was kind of dependent on how you built your deck.
Well, the first Nissa was just, like, way too powerful, because you just got, like, free elves.
Yeah.
And then they were like, oh, whoa, 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 whoa. She isn't Jace the Mind Sculptor, let's back up a sec. And then they proceeded to make Jace continuously good and everybody else continuously mediocre.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's just, it's interesting. And then all of these invocations are, like, so, so bad looking. Just, I've seen a few, like, in person, and they're really not that nice.
Yeah.
I mean, the art on them is cool, but fact that you
the cardboard is so gross.
Yeah, it's garbage.
Like, the only one I think I want is Hazoret, because it looks like it says Hazoret the Pervert.
Which appeals to you.
We're not going to even begin to pretend that I'm not about that. Yeah. No, I mean, you can literally you can get every one of the god invocations for less than 150 if you were smart about, like, where you look. For the whole total five of them. You can get all five for less than 150, and that's insane. Because one expedition land is still going for more than that.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, the problem is, like, there's only a few good cards, and, okay, like, Stifle appeals to legacy players, right?
Mm-hmm.
Fortune Foil of legacy players.
Mm-hmm.
Containment Priestess Legacy. Like, and legacy players are not really that interested in these because they don't look good.
And of course they ban Counterbalance, like, right before.
So Star City Games was actually pretty cool about it. So they released a statement that said that if you bought an invocation Counterbalance, they will give you your full money back.
Wow.
Without question. Yeah, I mean they banned Counterbalance. Right? And then they released a promo version of it. It's like, why? Why would you ever do
this?
That's
a dick move.
But, I mean, the only ones that are holding value are Consecrated Sphinx, Force of Will, Maelstrom Pulse, I think Vindicate, Cryptic, and Entomb. I think are the only spells that are, like, really holding strong. The rest of them are falling like stones. I mean, like, if you look at the value, just based off of when these things were released, the expeditions, the average return value of an expedition was $280 at the time of release, right? Mm-hmm. Invocations are $44. It's about the cost of a fat pack.
That's not bad.
Really, it's like sad. I think they went a little too overboard. They, like, found the kid who was super into Egypt and was like, here, design card borders for us, kid.
It looks terrible. Sounds great.
Yeah, I mean, they did great with a main set. I just don't think they did great with these cards. It's kind of cool getting some of them back, but at the same time, it's like, I'm really I don't care all that much. I would rather just turn this into cards I actually want. Yeah, one of my friends opened up a stack of random packs from two different boxes and got two diverts, and he was like, this is... I would have rather just not open them. It says something. It says something when you'd rather not open two promotional cards.
Yeah, that's not...
You, mm-hmm. He goes, I would have rather seen foil lands. I would have been happier with foil lands.
I mean, full art lands are back.
Yeah,
one out of four packs. I have two islands, a plains, and a forest so far. Which
well, I got
all
one.
Of them, all of them I've given away because I just don't like the look.
I bought an Amaket bundle and you get 20 total lands. Yeah, 20 total of the full arts. And you get one of each token, which was pretty much the reason why I got bought in the first place, because I wanted all the tokens.
Yeah, so this was actually not even advertised. So if you bought a bundle, so it was referred to as a fat pack, but if you bought a bundle, they gave you a pack of one of every token.
What?
Like, yeah, they didn't bother to say anything.
Yeah, no, I mean, they're double-sided, so you get a token on each side, but yeah. I, like, heard secondhand that this was happening. And I work in a game store, so you'd think I would know.
No, they needed to advertise that, and they didn't, and now people are finding out and buying like bundles like crazy now. They're selling out everywhere.
Yeah, pretty sweet.
Oh yeah. But yeah, I mean, Amonkhet, I think great job. I think they did a really good job capturing the flavor and essence of Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it's not 100% true to Egypt's lore, like they did a really good job with everything about it.
I mean, one of the biggest complaints I'm hearing is that the gameplay is kind of swingy, which yeah. I would have to agree because I did the draft and when my opponent played. Give me a second while I find the name of the card. Samet, Voice of Dissent, against me, and I ended up losing the turn after.
Yeah, he's kind of a powerhouse.
And yeah, it's like they decided when they created this card, hey, let's add every ability we can to this thing.
I'm sure that won't turn out badly.
Yeah.
I mean, I read when they originally made this card, they also had Hexproof on it.
Yep.
And I'm like, no, no, I'm glad for the version we have, but I still don't like it.
Yeah, I got. I have a foil stamp Hapatra Visor Poisons.
Nice.
I was really excited to open her.
Vizier?
Eh, whatever. She makes snakes.
X.
Did we talk about that other legacy deck you wanted to talk about?
Oh, there's this sweet legacy deck that uses one of my favorite cards.
Yeah, you linked this to me, and I was. Kind of disappointed I didn't have any of the good cards.
So it's basically four color, it's like four color control, but it uses its main cards as Pandemonium and Sapperling Burst. So for those who don't know, Sapperling Burst was from Nemesis when they had a keyword called Fading. So Fading was during your upkeep you remove a Fading counter and there were effects that you could do to basically fade things faster, but you got kind of like a bonus out of it. And one of the things that you could do, especially with this deck, is that you can use the card Pandemonium. So Pandemonium is a red enchantment, the 3 and a red. Whenever a creature comes into play, that creature's controller may have it deal damage equal to its power to target creature or player of his or her choice. So you play Sapperling Burst for 5. It's got Fading 7. You remove a Fading counter, and you put a green Sapperling, which is power and toughness equal to the number of Fading counters on Sapperling Burst. And when it when Burst leaves play, you remove all the tokens.
So you throw Pandemonium
down. 7, toss down Sapperling Burst, and then you get 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 damage.
No, you get 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Oh, 6. Yeah.
But I mean, you only need 6, 5, 4, 3, technically.
Yeah.
And probably since this is Legacy, you gotta imagine they're gonna do one of those points for you. Two of those points for you.
Yeah, the deck, I've watched people play the deck, and it's so entertaining to watch people go, like, they'll play Pandemonium, and then their opponent kind of goes,
shit,
I don't get this. What?
Why would you? This is Legacy. Why would you have creatures?
Yeah, and so you can watch the opponent starts to, like, hover over cards and try to figure out, like, okay, like, wait, I don't, what's happening? I don't get this. And then they kind of go, okay, pass turn. And then they play Saproling Burst and they go,
fuck.
Well, I don't get this. Okay, I allow it. And then they just start making Saprolings and they go, yeah, you're dead.
Well, if you look at the list, it's also a self-mill thing where you can cast Replenish on, like, mill them into your graveyard, cast Replenish, and then bam, all these, they both come into play.
Yeah, that was another way of doing it, is that
that's pretty,
they just abuse the crap out of Replenish. Good. Listen,
and then, I mean, then you accidentally name Saproling Token with the Detention Sphere.
Oops.
Why would you do that?
Hey, misclicks happen.
Mitch likes Legacy.
Right. He also likes Magic Online.
I do like Magic Online.
But yeah, I mean, Legacy is becoming an interesting place because people are actually starting to make, like, interesting decks again. And then most recently, especially with like, the most recent ban list was definitely interesting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they had to rapid fire quickly ban Felidar Guardian a day after they announced it wasn't banned.
Yeah, right. I remember the internets that day.
Yeah, it went nuts.
Some people were happy.
Yeah, they banned Smuggler's Copter, Reflector Mage, Emrakul in April, and then Felidar Guardian like the day after, and it kind of ended up being like, wait, why are we? Why didn't you do this before?
Yeah. Because they even called it out in the original announcement. They're like, we know that this is a deck, but we're not going to do anything about it.
Yeah, it's an interesting choice they made. And I don't know. I feel like it went on for too long. I mean, I played the copycat deck, and I love the crap out of it. It's just, after like three or four rounds, I'm like, I don't want to play this deck ever again. Like, I'm not having any fun. And when me, the guy who loves making infinite combos and like being like disgusting to people, is not having fun doing it, yeah, like there's something wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But,
I mean, Sahelira is still fun with like a infinite whirler deck.
Yeah, there's also the Golem, the Gearhulk abuse that she still does. So, I mean, she's not like out, but she's like a two or three card. She's like maybe a one or two copies now.
Yeah.
But one of the biggest shocks of the bannings, Sensei Divining's up. Most recently, in the last month.
Wait, what's it?
They banned Top in Legacy.
Really?
Yeah, so Synthetic Divining Top fell like a goddamn stone.
Yep.
On the like, restricted Gush and Vintage.
Gush and Gitaxian Probe.
Oh, that's a pretty big deal.
Yeah, it's kind of
I think the Gush experiment this time lasted like two years or so. Because I feel like they just unrestricted it like two or three years ago. And Gitaxian Probe obviously too good.
Yeah, when you can, you know, pay no mana to look at your opponent's deck and plan for the future.
Yeah.
I hear knowledge is valuable. I'm just throwing it out there.
I don't see any problems with that at all. No.
Wow, top is under $1 on online. Wonder what it was before. There's no historical price data.
So to give you an idea, a mint copy of D-Top from Champions was going for about 25 to 30. It's barely 16 right now.
Wow.
In paper. On the low end, you could basically ask $10 for a top, and it's not unreasonable.
Yeah.
Well, I now feel silly for buying... Like, I bought the last... what's it called? That one-card bundle thing that they do every year. Or the 15-card thing that they do every year.
Oh, the Master...
Which one?
Not the... From the Vault.
Oh, the From the Vault. Only for the top, because actually, like, on sale... Because no one was selling them, because like we predicted.
Oh yeah.
And the only reason why I bought it was because of the top. Now I feel silly.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's. I mean, it was gonna happen eventually. Every deck plays top, because in Legacy nobody plays creature decks. Everybody just plays combo decks.
And... Well, it also like helped your counterbalance, which was also bad.
Yeah, I mean, they basically gutted one deck, like, without question. So, I mean, that is a thing. And yes. I feel like Legacy might be healthier for it.
Yeah, I haven't been seeing too many people play it, so we'll see.
Yeah. But... Also, onto other things that we aren't using or doing anymore. Nobody submitted anything to our contests, which means that we are going to have to revisit it later. I mean, like, we have our loyal viewers and listeners, which we appreciate, and, you know, it's kind of cool when I've had random people come up and talk to me and be like, hey, you sound like you are on this podcast I listen to. I'm like, I am on that podcast. Which is weird. I've had that happen like twice now.
Awesome. But, where was it, at a magic event or just walking around the street?
No, it's CFB. I had two guys who were like, "Yeah, we randomly found you guys," and it was like, "Hey, that's kind of cool, I guess." But I mean, I'm definitely open to, you know, I would love to be like, "Sweet, we've got fans and listeners and stuff. I want to give you, I want to buy you a thing." But at the same time, we'll revisit it.
Yeah,
you know, I feel like we're keeping it. We're flying casual right now. We're flying casual.
Fly casually.
Yeah, but I mean, for anybody who's like, oh, I don't know about Avanket. It's one of the best sets I think they've released in a while. Kaladesh was good. Aether Revolt was okay. I'm definitely looking forward to seeing how the meta changes with Amonkhet.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, things are going to get weird, especially with, are the gods good? Are they not good? Yeah. You know, how does the minus one count of abuse work? You know, is cycling going to be as broken as it was before? We'll see. I mean, we'll definitely see.
Mm-hmm. When is the Pro Tour so we can find this out? Is it next week? Two weeks?
Pro Tour... Well, we have a GP at the end of the month. And then I think Pro Tour Amonkhet is in... I know it's in Tennessee. Oh, no, it's this weekend, actually.
Oh, so we'll find out this weekend.
Yeah, no. I was still thinking the month out. We'll see. I mean, I'm definitely interested to see how the pros approach this versus how I thought I would
you
approach
mean
it.
How they approach? That's the same word. I can't pun it.
I'm on camp pro. <project. laughs>
And we're right. And now we're reaching.
Yeah, I think on that
but,
note.
Yeah, no, and for anybody who's really, like, concerned because they played way too much Aether Revolt, this is very, very refreshing for a set.
Yes. I mean, I do enjoy it. The last time I had fun with a set was probably Cons of Dark Here.
Oh, Cons, yeah, Cons is a great set.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that one. I don't think I've had as much fun in, since. Well, I mean, I'm really enjoying it. Amonkhet. Probably not as much, but it's pretty good.
Nice. All right, thanks for listening, everybody. Check out this and other great shows on www.notlg.com. And if you'd like to support our network, please head on over to our patreon.com/notlg. You can check out our Facebook page on facebook.com/thechattering. Our intro music is by Kevin McLeod, and we'll see you next time on Magic the Chattering.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Night of the Living Geek.
Cool.
Oh god, my balls itch.
You know, you can just itch your balls without calling it out.